Hello there. Hope you're keeping well and are enjoying school. This recording is for the children in The Way who are from year seven going all the way up to university level, if you like. As long as you're feeling young at heart and ready to receive a simple message from the Lord, then please carry on listening. Before we get into the parables that we're talking about, let's just play a little game where I give you clues to try and work out whether you can think of the object I'm thinking of or not. Well, there's no prizes or points for it, but it's just for you to mark it yourself. So for 5 points, if you get it right straight away, then you will get 5 points. This is an item with two hands or three. It's an item that has two hands or three. For 4 points, it can be big or small. It can be big or small, so various sizes. For 3 points, it is a timepiece. It is a timepiece. For 2 points, it can be worn around the wrist or put in a pocket. And for 1 point, it is known to go tick-tock. Not all the models of it, but some models do go tick-tock. So, did you work it out? Did you work out that I was thinking of a watch? Now, I hope so, because that is what I was thinking of. Okay, so today I'm using the notes from sweepmeetdave.com again, and we're going to talk about two parables that Jesus taught us while he was here on earth. And again, the parables are stories that had a hidden meaning that people would be able to recognize very easily and understand some of it, not all of it, because like we've discussed before, that Jesus didn't always want it to be clear for everyone, just for people that were really paying attention or people that were tuning their mind in to really understand what God was saying to them. So he told a lot of parables, and this is one of them. So we're in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25. And I'm going to carry on reading until the end of the story. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. So verse 25 says, "A teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to receive eternal life?' Jesus answered him, 'What do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them?' The man answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your might, and love your neighbor as you love yourself.' 'You're right,' Jesus replied. 'Do this and you will live.' But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked, 'Jesus, who is my neighbor?' Jesus answered, 'There was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, and beat him up, leaving him half dead. It so happened that a priest was going down that road, but when he saw the man, he walked on by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came there, went over and looked at the man, and then walked on by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was traveling that way came upon the man. And when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him and poured oil and wine on his wounds and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Take care of him,' he told the innkeeper, 'and when I come back this way, I will pay you whatever else you spend on him.' And Jesus concluded, 'In your opinion, Which one of those three acted like a neighbor towards the man attacked by the robbers? The teacher of the law answered, "The one who was kind to him." Jesus replied, "You go then and do the same." Okay, so that is the story of the Good Samaritan. So let's look at some of the lessons that we can learn from it. It just seems really, really difficult for the priest and the Levite because, you know, it looks like they just were not that interested. So if we do an analysis of the characters in the story, the first people that we come across is this man who was traveling on the road, and then he was attacked by robbers. Now, hopefully, you will not be one of the robbers. You will not aspire to be one of the robbers. People that will take things that do not belong to them, make other people unhappy, maybe even, like this man, beat them up so that they are half dead. Hopefully, you are not going to be one of those people. But you could be the Good Samaritan. You could be walking in the wrong place at the wrong time. You could have people jump on you and try to hurt you or even hurt you. You could be the person who needs help. And it might not be that you've been beaten up, but it might be that you need help. You need help and you are down and, you know, it's like you're on this lonely road and there's no one there to help you. You need to look carefully at your resources and make sure that you get the help you need. Or you could be, and don't put yourself in dangerous situations. Don't put yourself where you're the only one walking along a dark, dark road that's badly lit. Make sure you are careful and you look after yourself. Right, then we have the priest that just walked on the other side. He did see the man. He didn't get too close. He didn't want to get involved. So he just quickly moved on. He might have been late for something. There might be a very, very good reason why he did not get engaged with this situation. He might have been late for the service he was going to, and he just needed to get there. You could be a person who does not like to get involved, who does not like to even come close to difficult situations. We have to stop that sort of behavior. We have to be good neighbors to other people, and we have to be good friends so that if we see or hear somebody who's in trouble, then we rush over to help them out. And then you could be like the Levite. You could be a Levite. A Levite was one of the people who helped in the church. They needed to keep themselves pure because sometimes they would be in the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. So they couldn't really, this man, this Levite could not risk touching a dead body or somebody who had been hurt and getting blood on him, because then he would need to go and do his ritual cleansing, which might take a long time before the meeting that he was going to Jericho to have. Or it might be that he did want, you know, I mean, because he did get close to the situation. And then for some reason, he decided not to get his hands dirty. So you might be that sort of person who is curious enough to come close when you see some danger. But you're not willing to get your hands dirty. You're not willing to put in the effort it would take to look after this man. So you quickly scurry along, leaving this man in a bad state and not caring at all about him, about who he could be, whose father he might be. None of those things are considered, because you just move along. So if we see trouble in the playground or wherever, are we willing to have a look but not get involved, not get our hands dirty, not go and tell the teacher that something bad might be happening to someone else? Or are we the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan saw this man and immediately he felt love and compassion for him and he wanted to help him. Because there are some problems that you just need other people to be around you, but there are some problems that you really need to get your hands dirty. The Good Samaritan was willing to touch the man that was hurt, lift him up onto his donkey. He was willing to walk himself while the hurt man was riding on the donkey. He got to an inn. They slept there. And in the morning, he said, if there's more money that is needed, I will come back tomorrow and I will pay it. So the Good Samaritan was willing to put himself out a lot. He was willing to sacrifice his time, his effort, and his money. The most important thing to him was looking after the man that was hurt and making sure that he recovered fully and was able to get back on his way. So we should be committed to helping other people in that way so that we help them until the problem is solved. Not just go for half measures or only do half the job or not get involved at all. So the lessons that we can learn from this story are that sometimes there's a lack of love in people's actions. And sometimes we try to find reasons to justify why we did not do something to help someone. But that is not right, and that is not being a good neighbor. Now, our neighbor is anyone that is in need. It doesn't have to be somebody who goes to church. It doesn't have to be a Christian. It doesn't have to be somebody whose skin color is the same as you, or someone in your social background, in your social circle. It doesn't have to be somebody who goes to the same school as you, or has the same IQ, or, you know, it's the person that's in need of help is in need of help. You do not have to stand there and judge whether they need help or not. It doesn't have to be somebody from your road or your street. Love means acting because somebody is in need, not waiting for other people to come and join you. We have no reason to refuse to help someone in need. In God's eyes, we should be willing to help other people because that is how He works on earth. He works through people doing their bit to help others. One of the other interesting things, of course, is that the Samaritan and the Jews were not friends. They were completely, you know, different. They had different gods. They worshipped in different places. And they did not really talk to each other. And the Samaritans would be considered to be below the Jews' social circle. So they would not talk to each other. They would avoid each other and all of this. But when this Samaritan saw the Jewish man who needed help, he immediately was willing to put in all the effort for this man to get better. Whereas the priest and the Levite, they were the same race as the Jew. And when the Levite even went to have a look at the man, he might have recognized him. He might have known him from down the road. Or he might have known him from the city. But none of that shows because he was not committed to putting in the time it would take to help this man. So we have to really try to make sure that we are not looking at people and judging whether they need our help or not, but helping them when we can see that they need it, regardless of where they come from. Right, the second parable that we're going to look at quickly is quite a short one. It's from Luke chapter 11 and it's verse 5 to verse 10. So in verse 5, the Bible says, "And Jesus said to his disciples, suppose one of you should go to a friend's house at midnight and say, 'Friend, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine who is on a trip, has just come to my house and I don't have any food for him. And suppose your friend should answer from inside, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Well, what then? I tell you that even if he did not get up and give you the bread because you are his friend, yet he will get up and give you everything you need because you are not ashamed to keep on asking. And so I say to you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For those who ask will receive, and those who seek will find, and the door will be opened to anyone who knocks. So this is an important thing that we should know, because maybe we have given in when a friend or a sibling has asked and kept on asking. Maybe we have actually been exhausted by them and they were just like, okay, fine, you can have it. You can have it instead of me. I don't even care. Just be quiet. Sometimes if you have younger siblings, that might be the case, that just for the sake of peace, you will give in and give them what they want. And this is what Jesus is trying to teach us about praying, that when we pray, we should be persistent. We should keep on praying. Now, why should we do that? One, it could change God's mind. There's another parable where Jesus specifically says that God will change his mind if we keep on asking. Two, we could change our hearts about how we feel about the thing we're asking for. Sometimes we ask for silly things and we don't actually realize that we don't need them. We just want them. So if we keep on praying about the same thing, it changes our hearts on how we feel about that thing. The third thing is it'll help us to understand the intensity of our need. If we are serious about something, we will not get tired. We will keep on asking until we get that prayer answered. There is an acronym that's called PUSH, which is pray until something happens. You must pray until something happens. And if you are serious about the matter or serious about the prayer point, then you will keep praying until you get an answer. And the fourth thing that we can see about praying and persisting in prayer is we can recognize God's work. So sometimes God is going to miraculously and wondrously answer your prayer and give you the thing you're asking for. Or he could say, no, you can't have it. And if we recognize that that's God's response, it can really help us to accept that no and carry on with our lives. Or maybe God would say, not now. You can't have it right now. And that will teach us how God can give us patience and he can help us to live without that thing and to change our focus so that we work with what he has given us. So this neighbor that kept coming and knocking would not go away. And at that time, this parable, again, would have been something that the Jewish people would have found very easy to understand, because the neighbor came at a time when the door was already locked. The children were sleeping on the floor close to the door. So anybody that wanted to open the door before morning would disturb the children that were sleeping. And also the parents' bed was further from the door. So the parents would have had to get up and walk towards the door, possibly disturbing the children that were sleeping before getting to the door. If it opened with a creak and noise, then that would have disturbed the household again. So he's not being unreasonable, saying, you know, it will be so difficult for me to get up, go and get you that bread and then come and give it to you because the lights are out. I might wake up the kids. And, you know, it might take them a while to get back in. But the neighbor doesn't, that's not his main focus. He keeps on knocking. He's shameless in his knocking. He's bold and he doesn't stop. He doesn't give up.
And that's what we have to be like with our prayers. We have to make sure that we never give up. We keep asking. The Bible tells us that we should ask and we should seek and we should keep on knocking. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 said, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and the grace and find grace in our time of need." So Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, we're going to have that as a prayer point. And it's going to be continually coming before God, confident that He loves us, and being bold and being shameless and asking and asking and asking again until we get a reply, and knocking on the heaven's door until, you know, we get God's attention and get His response. And that just shows the seriousness with which He expects us to be asking Him for things, so that we are constantly asking until we get that reply. So I hope that explains and, you know, sort of goes through those, the things we can learn from these two parables. And we have to think that, are we the friend that keeps on knocking and keeps on asking for things? Or are we the person who just gets fed up and says, "Look, you can have it now"? Or we could be somewhere in the middle where we are the friend who, the first time somebody asks us for something, then we're ready to give it and we give it cheerfully. But that's all we're going to be talking about today. So the memory verse is going to be Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need." I pray that God blesses you and God touches you wherever you are, and that God helps you to remember these lessons that we can learn from the Bible when you need them, that they will come popping into your head and they will be a real blessing to you. Do take care and God bless you. Bye.